everybody. Jeff Jones here. Welcome to the weekly Chase Oaks Church podcast. Before we dive in, I want to encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel and download the Chase Oaks Church app. The app is the best place to catch up on messages, engage with our community, and stay in the loop with everything going on around here. Most importantly, my hope is that today's message inspires you to take your next step in your faith journey. Here we go.
Good morning, Chase Oaks Church. Happy Sunday, everybody. It is a beautiful day. Did y'all see how pretty it is outside? I wish I rode a motorcycle. My husband rides a Harley, like, and I love him. I love him so much. And one day, my dream is to have my own motorcycle. Three wheels on the ground, though, for me. Three wheels. I can't do the two, but I want a, what is it called? It's the Honda Goldwing. I want a Honda Goldwing trike. So on beautiful days like this, I can ride to church, enjoying this beautiful weather. Thank you guys so much for having me back here in Allen, Texas. Lord, sometimes as I'm driving, I don't know which city I'm actually in because it changes so fast, but it's such a pleasure and such an honor to be here with you guys today. And as you all heard, I get the opportunity to wrap up this series that you all have been in for several weeks called The Outsiders, taking this deep dive into looking at this amazing hodgepodge of people that Jesus chose to be his intimate inner circle. And so I'm excited about this time, and I'm excited about the person that we get to talk about. Some of you who've been tracking along, you may already have picked out the one that hasn't been talked about yet, but I'm not going to give it away too fast. I want us to kind of dive into this introduction of this person based on how he is introduced to us. And what I've loved about this series is that it kind of put me in mind of, many of you have probably watched that show, The Chosen. Anybody watch The Chosen? I absolutely love The Chosen, and they did not pay me to say that. But I really love the show because it's probably the first one where every episode there is this exciting introduction or interaction with not just Jesus, but the people who followed him. You actually get to see that they were real people who had real issues and real problems. And I think it really has been highlighted by this series that we've been in for the last several weeks. So I'm excited to talk about this person. And we're first introduced to him in the book of John. And so I want to talk to us or introduce this person by actually reading a nice chunk of scripture. And I'm doing that on purpose because I want us to draw our attention to exactly what's happening. All of us know that context matters. And this disciple's introduction comes based on the context of what we're going to read. So I want us to take a look at John chapter 1, verse 29. We're going to dive in. And it says this. It says, "The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one I was talking about when I said, a man is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me. I did not recognize him as the Messiah, but I have been baptizing with water so that he might be revealed to Israel.' Then John testified, 'I saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove from heaven and resting upon him. I didn't know who he was. I didn't know he was the one. But when God sent me to baptize with water, he told me, the one on whom you see the Spirit descended and rest is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I saw this happen to Jesus. So I testify that he is the chosen one of God.' The following day, John was again standing with two of his disciples. As Jesus walked by, John looked at him and declared, 'Look, there is the Lamb of God.' When John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. Jesus looked around and saw them following. 'What do you want?' he asked them. They replied, 'Rabbi,' which means teacher, 'where are you staying?' 'Come and see,' he said. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of these men who heard what John said and then followed Jesus. Today, we are going to talk about Andrew. Did y'all figure that out yet? We're going to talk about Andrew, and I got to be honest, low-key, I really wasn't, you know, too into Andrew. There's not a lot said about Andrew in Scripture. In fact, I think it was Peter told you guys a few weeks ago that his brother, Peter, is mentioned in the Scriptures over 150 times, but Andrew is only mentioned 12. And another thing that I noticed when I was studying this is that Andrew, of the 12 times that he's mentioned, he's always mentioned in reference to him being the brother of Simon Peter. That's kind of janky. It's like, why do I have to be identified by my brother? You ever have those people in your life? My sons were kind of like that. I have one son who was the real popular guy at school. God bless him. He was so popular at school, and everybody just knew who he was. And then his younger brother comes along and adores him. But every time he's referenced, oh, you're Chris's little brother. Oh, you're Chris's little brother. And that kind of can give somebody a complex. What if that were you? Oh, you're so-and-so's daughter. I was the same way. Oh, you're Pastor Barron's daughter. Can I just be April? And I imagine sometimes Andrew thought the same thing. Can I just be Andrew? But every time, or half the times, I think it was 6 times that he's mentioned in Scripture, he's mentioned as Peter's brother. But Andrew matters. And Andrew was picked specifically by Jesus to follow him. But what I love most and what I want to kind of dive into is that as we read that text, as we read that story, there are 3 key characteristics that I think kind of stood out to me as I looked at him. Because truth be told, there wasn't a lot to study. He's mentioned 12 times. If y'all gave me Peter, we could be talking here for days. But Andrew, I was like, okay, well, what you want us to know about Andrew? And that's oftentimes what we can even think about ourselves. Well, I'm a bit insignificant. I'm just a somebody. There's a song that I used to sing when I was growing up, and it says, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And I think that might have been Andrew's theme song. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And we're going to see that to be true. So one of the first things that I noticed about Andrew as we read through that was that Andrew was a seeker of truth and righteousness. He was a seeker of truth and righteousness. How do I know this? Well, first of all, he was a follower of John the Baptist. And while John the Baptist wasn't one of the insiders or one of the outsiders that were in Jesus's inner circle, John the Baptist was a piece of work. John the Baptist, if you read about John the Baptist, you're just like, who is this dude? Actually, in The Chosen, they called him Old Crazy John. Because John the Baptist is not living in the towns with everybody else in a proper home and eating proper meals. No, John the Baptist lives out in the wilderness eating wild locust and honey. Barely shaven, probably smelled really bad. I don't know. I probably shouldn't say that. I'm sorry. But you think about it. John the Baptist was known to be this crazy prophet who lived out. But John had a very strategic assignment. John the Baptist was the one that was against what everybody else was doing. He spoke against the religious leaders, and he spoke against the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And his message was all about repent. He talked about repentance. He preached that over and over again. Repent for the forgiveness of your sins. And this was a bit offensive, especially to the Israelites, to the children of Israel, because they believe they are the chosen ones. They believe they don't have any sin to be forgiven of, especially the religious leaders. So John the Baptist had a reputation. But his message, I think, is what drew Andrew's attention. Obviously, if you're going to be a disciple of John the Baptist, you must want to know what it is he's talking about. He said, prepare the way for the Lord. Make his path straight. This was John the Baptist's message. And so what I love is that John the Baptist's strangeness wasn't a deterrent for Andrew, because Andrew didn't mind being a disciple of Crazy John, because he sought wisdom and truth and righteousness above popularity, above being in the in crowd. He wanted the truth. And this man is saying something about the Messiah. I want to know about that guy, Nobody else is really talking about that, but Crazy John over here, he is the one who's kind of sharing something that's a little bit different. Make the pathway straight for the Messiah. He's coming. He's coming. And so Andrew is a seeker of truth and righteousness. He wants the truth. He wants to know the way. And so that's one thing that we see about him. The second thing that I notice about him is that Andrew is teachable and obedient. How do we know this? Well, Andrew heard the proclamation from John that Jesus was the Messiah. We just read that. He heard this proclamation, and he trusted John's declaration because of the time that he had spent with him. He had built a relationship with him, and so his word was trustworthy. So much so that when John the Baptist said, "Look, look, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." When John pointed at Jesus, Andrew immediately followed. He immediately followed. He trusted John's word so much that in a moment, he immediately followed. And I love this. In verse 38, it says, Jesus looked around after he noticed. He said, he looked around and saw them following. He said, "What do you want?" I love that question. That makes me chuckle every time. I don't know if Jesus had the same inflection that I have when I read it. Like, what you want? Like, why are you following me? And I love how they responded. They didn't say, "I want this," what they said, "Where are you staying? Where are you staying?" That implies I want to be where you are. All I want is to be where you are. I want to see where you live. I want to see what you're about. He said that. He said that to them, and he said, Jesus responded, he said, "Come and see." He's so sweet. He says, "Come and see," he said. And then it says, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, there we go, being identified by his brother, was one of these men who heard what John said and then followed. I love that pairing. Andrew heard and then followed. Andrew heard the witness of John. He was teachable, and then he followed Jesus. He was obedient. He did exactly what John said. When John said, "Look, that's him," he said, "Okay, I'm going where he's going." And he followed him immediately. That pairing of hearing and following, hearing and following, hearing the truth, hearing the proclamation, and then following, pursuing that truth. Andrew's curiosity led him that day to an encounter with Jesus. The scripture tells us he sat all day with the Lord. When you continue to read that text, it says he sat there all day with him. He stayed with Jesus for the day. And his encounter with Jesus in that one day impacted him so much so that we see the third characteristic that I want to spend the rest of our time kind of diving into. So we see Andrew as a seeker of truth and righteousness. We see Andrew as teachable and obedient. And the last thing we see is that Andrew is an inviter. Andrew is an inviter. Take a look at what Andrew does next. After he spent this time with Jesus, it says, Andrew went to find his brother, Simon, and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. Then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. Do y'all see this cadence happening? Andrew went to where Jesus was. He spent time with Jesus. He was so impacted by his encounter with Jesus that he left where he was. He left where he was with Jesus. He went to find his brother. He proclaimed to him, "Hey, guess what, bro? We found him. The Savior of the world, the Messiah, the one we've all been waiting for, the one we've been longing for, he is here. I found him." And y'all, guess what? You gotta come see him. You gotta come. And what I love about Andrew is Andrew didn't just say, "Hey, you need to go check out Jesus. He'll be at such and such address at such and such time. I'll holler at you later," and go back to Jesus. That's not what he said. It says he brought Simon Peter to meet Jesus. What a model example for us. What a beautiful display of how we can too be an inviter to go to where they are. And Simon Peter, he started with family. He started with his brother. He went to his brother. He went to where he was. He told them who Jesus was, and then he brought them to the Messiah. It seems so simple, but why is that so challenging for us to do? Why is it so hard for us to go to other people and say, hey, I found the answer to all of your problems. I have found the one who can bring you peace. I have found the one who can bring you hope and life and strength. I have found the one that can give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. And by the way, let me take you to him. It seems so simple, yet it's such a challenge. But Andrew, he was the evangelist of the group. He was clearly the inviter of this ragtag group of people. And the cool part is that his part was easy. All he had to do was bring them to Jesus. It was up to Jesus what happened after that. He didn't bring Peter to Jesus and say, okay, now Jesus, do X, Y, or Z. No, all he had to do was make the introduction. All he had to do was bring Peter to where Jesus was. And so Andrew gives another example of this in John chapter 6, verse 8 through 12. There's a story, if you go and you read it, there's a story where there's thousands upon thousands of people who are following Jesus. And it's around Passover time. And these people go up on a hill. Jesus has gone up on this hill, and he sees all these people coming with him. And they all sit down. Why? Because they've been hearing about this man named Jesus, and they've been following him. And so now Andrew is one of the disciples, and by this time in the text, in John chapter 8, many of the disciples have been gathered. And so they're up on this hill with all these people, and it's about Passover time, and people are getting a little hungry. And so Jesus, he does something really cool. He goes to Philip, and he says, hey, Philip, where can we buy bread to feed all of these people? This is what Jesus asked Philip. Philip was like, this is literally what he said. He said, I don't know. Andrew, though, on the other hand, he spoke up. Philip said, I don't know. Andrew spoke up. Andrew had been watching this man named Jesus, and Andrew had been amongst the crowd because Andrew knew that in the midst of these thousands of people, there was one little boy who had two fish and five loaves of bread. Now, Andrew had no idea what could happen in this scenario, but he knew that Jesus just asked a question, and that there's this little boy who may be the solution. There may be a connection here. So Andrew, our inviter, says, hey, there's this little boy who's got two fish and five loaves of bread. He gets the boy and brings the little boy to Jesus. And what happens? Jesus multiplied two fish and five loaves of bread and fed 5,000 plus people based on one invitation. Imagine the transformation in that little boy's life. That his little bit, his two fish, his five loaves of bread were able to be used by God to extend a nourishment and provide a miracle for thousands of people to see. This food came out of nowhere, all because Andrew brought a little boy with his little gift to Jesus. We see it another time. This is just the second time we see Andrew is as this inviter. And so he introduces Peter to Jesus. He introduces this little boy to Jesus. And then lastly, we see in the Bible, it says in John chapter 12, we see another encounter. There are these Greeks that are around. In John chapter 12, verse 20, it says, some Greeks who had come to Jerusalem for the Passover celebration paid a visit to Philip. There's Philip again, the I don't know guy, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee. They said, sir, we want to meet Jesus. And what did Philip do? I like Philip too, though. What did Philip do? Philip told Andrew about it. Philip had peeped out. I love this. Sorry, y'all. Y'all make me so comfortable. I love that I get to talk with y'all. Philip had ascertained that Andrew was the one who had the connections. Andrew was the one who could take a person to Jesus. Andrew had the boldness. Andrew had the courage to take anybody to Jesus. He wasn't afraid. So what did Philip do? Philip told Andrew about it, and they went together to ask Jesus, hey, can we bring these Greeks to you? And understand how vital and how important this was. This was the introduction of the Gentiles to Jesus. This is when Jesus' ministry started to shift. When you continue to read this text, Jesus' ministry started to shift and people started to recognize that Jesus wasn't just only about the children of Israel, but he was for everybody. Jew, Greek, male, female, rich, poor, popular, obscure, no matter who you were, Jesus was the answer. Jesus was the one you needed to meet. And so Andrew introduces these Greeks to Jesus. And that was the impetus to Jesus declaring that he was for everyone. And that is powerful. All they needed was an invitation to meet this man. To meet this man who could transform and change their lives. And so because of Andrew's evangelistic heart, Peter is mentioned in the scriptures over 150 times. Peter is known, well known, because his baby brother, I don't know if he was younger or older, but because his brother introduced him. What if Andrew had not thought to invite his brother? The thing I love about that story is that Andrew loved his brother. Andrew had relationship with his brother, and he wouldn't dare hold on to something so valuable and not tell his brother about it. He went straight to him. Jesus ministered and invited Peter in, and Peter's story, Peter's evangelism, Peter's apostleship, Peter starting churches and ministering to many people and leading them to Christ was because of one invitation from his brother, the inviter. Andrew, the inviter, sees this little boy with a small gift and he introduces him to Jesus, and millions, thousands of people were fed because of one invitation. And Greeks, strangers, Gentiles, people who don't qualify according to some people, were introduced to Jesus because of Andrew. And the gospel began to spread, not just there in Jerusalem, but throughout all the nations. Lives were changed all because of Andrew, the inviter. An invitation sometimes is all it takes. I love plays and musicals. And there's this one play, this drama by Oscar Wilde, called The Importance of Being Earnest. And there's a quote by Oscar Wilde in there. It says, "Nothing annoys people so much as not receiving invitations." I think that's true. Everybody wants to be included and invited. This is a comedic play that was first performed in 1895, but this statement still resonates today. Because research shows, and we looked this up, I was introduced to this content. Research says that 80% of people who don't go to church say they'd attend if someone just asked them. That hurts. 80% of people who never go to church would go if we simply extended the invitation. What does that look like for us? How does that make you feel? Because I know for me, I felt real convicted. The first person that came to mind when I saw that quote was my nail tech. Real talk. Her name is Demi. She's so sweet. I see her every time. And you know, ladies, y'all know, once you find a nail tech that you like, you don't go to anybody else. I call and make my appointment. Is Demi here today? But I sit with her and we swap stories, and she tells me about her kids, and I tell her about what's going on, and I've mentioned what I do a little bit, and I've gone over there after church some Sundays, and she'll say, "Well, how was your day?" I was like, "Well, I just finished with church." So I've kind of low-key, you know, made it known a little bit about who I am, but I don't talk much about it. But she was the first person that came to mind when I saw that. And I know she doesn't go to church. She shared some stories with me. I know she doesn't know Jesus, but I sit in front of her almost every 2 weeks, and not one time have I invited her. We got an early service. She can make it and still go to work on Sunday. But not one time have I invited her. Who's popping to your mind? Who's coming to mind for you? That you have the opportunity, you have the relationship, the door is wide open, and all they need, according to research, is one invitation to come and see. To come, I'll sit with you. I'll come pick you up. And the beauty of it is, it's not up to us what happens after that. And I think that's the thing that kind of inhibits most of us, is that we feel like if we make this invitation, we're responsible for what happens after that. Or, God forbid, I actually have to talk to them about my faith. What do I say? How do I say it? Is it going to make sense? And so all of these questions seem to inhibit us. But what I love about Andrew's example is that he didn't care what happened after that. He just made the invitation. And so for many of us, that is the next step for us, to simply invite. So my question to us today is, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? What is it going to take for you to just extend that invitation to the person that's in your mind even now? What's holding you back? What reason do you have that we use to justify why we haven't asked Demi to just come sit in church with us? Your games, the ones you sit for hours upon hours with your kids out there on those hard bleachers. The same family comes every week. You can invite them to church. You can invite them to an event. You can invite them to something special. But all it could take, what if that person is Peter? What, seriously, real talk. What if that person is the person whose name everybody's going to know one day? But there's the difference between whether they proclaim Jesus or proclaim themselves. Is because of our invitation. The opportunities are endless. But for us here at Chase Oaks and all of our campuses, it's right here. The holidays are coming. Thanksgiving and Christmas, it's right around the corner. So many opportunities for us to invite people to come and sit, to come and see, to come and experience the reason why you come every week. So I'm here to let you know, we've got services, you have got services for Christmas that are coming up, and you don't have to wonder what the times are or the dates, December 23rd and 24th. The times are already on your church app and the website. All you got to do is look it up. Plan now. Go ahead and send the invitation so nobody can say, oh, well, I already made plans. No, you got a whole 2 months. What are you waiting for? Why are we waiting? What's our delay? The time is now. The day is today. Somebody is waiting on you and me to extend an invitation. And I love the fact that that's where I have to leave it. I have no further assignment until God says so, outside of just inviting them to come. And they could say no. It's okay. It's not personal. But 80% will say yes. 80% will be like, you know what? Yeah, I think I will go. Andrew, the last of the Mohicans in this series, was an inviter. He was not afraid or ashamed to tell people about this Jesus, this Messiah, this Savior of the world that he'd found. He just made the invitation, and that's not hard. To share our witness, to share our story, to share what Christ has done in and through our lives. And hear me, it doesn't mean we have a perfect life. That's sometimes an inhibitor. Because the person that we need to invite may know stuff about us that may not quite be so Jesus following. But that's okay too. I think the honesty of that, the vulnerability of like, yeah, I know I'm still dealing with this, but you know what? Jesus is still on the throne and he's still the best decision I ever made. We can still extend that invitation because Christ died not just for you to sit here, but for your neighbors and your friends and your family. Salvation is waiting for everyone. So my question is, what are you waiting for? Let me pray for us.
Father,
it's amazing to me that our minds can make this so challenging, so complicated, and so hard to get past our flesh, to get past where we are, to get past what we've done, to get past what we're so insecure about, to think it's on us that somebody would come to know you. But Father, your ask of us, the start is so simple. Step one, extend the invitation. You thought it so important to pick at least one of your inner circle that was brave enough, that was bold enough, that was courageous enough to spend time with you, to get excited about you, and to go invite somebody else to come meet the Savior of the world. So God, would you give us that courage? Would you give us that boldness? Would you give us that tenacity, that drive, that excitement to extend the invitation? Hey, I have found the Savior of the world. Hey, I have found the one who has come to set you free. Hey, I know the man who can change your life forever. Come and see this man. God, give us boldness. And help us to trust that the rest is up to you. It is not our job to transform. It is our job to introduce. So, Father, we thank you for the person that introduced us. And, Father, let us not be found afraid to do the same for somebody else. We thank you for the opportunity. We thank you for all that you've given us so that we can exchange that and give that to others. We bless you. In Jesus' name. Amen.